This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. I know, I don't sound like Frank. It's true. He'll be back next week, but for now, it's me. And guess who's in the studio with me? I have a very special guest. Welcome. Got Wayne Gale here from Stoke Seeds.
Good morning, Charlie.
Thank you for coming all this way.
Yeah, it was a pleasant drive in for a change.
True, it wasn't like snow storming or anything.
No,
sun
no.
is shining. Nice and chilly, though.
Yeah, minus 10, I think it was.
And getting colder.
Yes.
But the wind has died down a bit.
Finally, yes.
That was killer wind. I hear all these people lost power, and, you know, they've had lots and lots of people without power, I guess, starting yesterday.
Yeah, and roofs and trees and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, I know, damage everywhere. But we won't get into the negative stuff. We're going to talk about gardening and the fact that the days are getting longer. And remember, tonight, my least favorite day of the year, this is the 23-hour day, because we lose an hour tonight.
Oh, yes, that's right, too.
Yeah, so, you know, it's the old... So I like that. My favorite day is where we gain the hour. Like, you know, it's like,
we just lost an hour of sleep.
Yeah, so we're going to lose an hour tonight, but that's going to mean it's just going to be brighter when we're, you know, later in the day.
When we come home. So at least we come home in the sunshine, get something done after dinner.
Exactly. Get growing our seeds, getting ready to get out in the garden. And of course, things are going to start thawing at some point. But for now, it's a cold week coming. And so great time to be thinking about indoor gardening. If you'd like to call in, of course, we're here to talk about anything to do with gardening. Of course, Wayne being an absolute, he's the man. He's third generation seed selector.
But not a great gardener, I have to admit, right up front.
No, you're more of a business guy, more of an analyst.
Yeah,
eh?
My wife is the gardener.
Oh, perfect. What a great couple, though.
Yes.
So she tests it and you analyze what she's tested.
I buy it and bring it home.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. So, but still, you've got the test garden, many big test gardens at Stokes. But...
Well, there's that, too. We have the research farm, and I used to work at the farm when I was 12, so I sort of did all my gardening when I was younger.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
You got
I was
your
done.
Hands dirty when you're 12.
Picking tomatoes and weeding 30 acres of tomatoes. You know, do that a couple of years and you've pretty well done your weeding.
Yeah. No, I know. I've been to your test garden just outside St. Catharines. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But, you know, it's just the soil is lovely. It's all flat. Everything grows so well. And it's, you know, a great place to test things. And we're going to get into some of those details of how you test and why you test. But the phone numbers, because I know not everybody has put our number into their memory speed dial. Local calls, 416-360-0740. But if you're out of the Toronto area, it's 1-866-740-4740. And just a quick update, remember that this Monday, the Agent Court Garden Club is hosting a meeting, 8 o'clock, Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. And of course, Wolfgang Bonham is speaking on the Gardens of Thailand. And also coming up on March the 26th, the Hamilton and Burlington Rose Society, their first meeting of the spring, hosting Nancy Christie. She is going to talk about roses, of course. And they meet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Royal Botanical Garden Center, 680 Plains Road West in Burlington, in rooms 3 and 4. Remember, everyone is always welcome to any of these meetings. Once you get hooked and you meet some of the fun people, you'll be joining. But in the meantime, you're welcome to just go in as a guest. And, of course, free parking and free entrance. So more on that. But we will be right back in a couple of minutes. We're just going to have to take a quick break, and then Wayne is here to talk about Stoke Seeds and up in space with tomatoes.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie Dobbin, and today, special guest Wayne Gale. Thanks again for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome.
So you're the biggest seed suppliers, or sellers, I guess, in all of Canada.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we sell a lot of commercial growers. So when you go to Sobeys or, you know, a lot of the grocery stores, mm-hmm. the guy that delivered the cauliflower and tomatoes is the guy that buys seed from us.
You.
So those people, I always say, you know, north of Toronto, Bradford Marsh area, all those onions, when you go up north and you smell those onions. Yeah. Well, about 75% of that is grown from seed out of our warehouse. So,
So, and of course, and those are big commercial purchasers, but you also supply the hobby gardener.
Yep.
And you have a big online business.
Mm-hmm.
You ship like crazy.
All across Canada and most of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I always say our smallest order is $3, and our biggest customer is well over $500,000. So we cover the whole gambit.
No kidding. You must have a huge accounting department with little people and big people.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. All right, let's go. We've got some callers on the line. Ellen is called in from Brantford. She's interested in something to do with pruning. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
My question today is pruning my crabapple tree.
Mm-hmm.
I can see, you know, with its profile now with no leaves, there mm-hmm. are branches growing into the center that I want to take out,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know when a good time for that would be.
Well, not when it's this cold, but you're right, it's very soon. So
okay.
you want a clear sunny day, and you want it to be in the early spring, so it could, we just got to get through this cold snap, so I'd say probably maybe even next weekend if it's not raining. Because you don't want to prune when it's super cold, you can do damage to the wood when it's frozen.
But, I almost did it last weekend when it was milder.
Yep.
Would that have caused damage now if it's cold?
Nope. Nope, you want to get onto those fruit trees, and crabapples being one of those fruit trees, early in the spring when there's no growth on them whatsoever. You just want a dry day and of course, you know, sharp tools. And if there's any, you know, sometimes one of the best things you can do is sterilize your pruning tools between cuts. So that's
mm-hmm.
having just a mix of bleach and water on hand and a cloth and wiping the blades of whatever tools you're using in between your cuts, just in case there's any disease issues. And you certainly don't want to be spreading disease around the tree.
Yeah.
Okay. And then your dormant spray goes next. Also, nice dry weather, sunny, above zero.
Do you put dormant spray on a crabapple?
Absolutely. You want to avoid pests and diseases. It's your best, most important spray of the entire year. And that way the leaves will stay on. I mean, I see crabapples in my neighborhood. Every year they're defoliated, not a leaf on them by August 1st. Because disease gets to them every single year. And it's certain, you know, some varieties are more or less resistant to disease than others. And so that's where the dormant spray comes in. It will help you have a much healthier tree.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Call anytime. Thanks. Thanks for calling. All right, we need some seed questions for Wayne. He's come all this way. And it looks like our next caller would like to talk about seeding the lawn. Gord's calling in from Orangeville. Good morning, Gord.
How are you this morning?
Excellent. How are you?
With regards to the seed, there's two questions. Number one is I got a lawn that looks like it's getting bare in grass. And I've tried it before, throwing grass seed on it. And I can't seem to get it to catch. Now, whether I'm doing it the wrong time of the year, not fertilizing with it or whatever, but it just seems to never want it. You keep throwing it and throwing it. Finally, sometimes it does catch. But should I be top dressing with it or whatever? That's question one. Question two is, at the cottage, I cleared some land, and I want to put some grass seed down, but I have a bed of leaves, you know, old leaves.
Mm, good, yep.
About 2 or 3 inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
Should I rake them out, then put topsoil down and seed, or can I put the topsoil over the leaves? It seems spongy, but...
No, it's great. It's called leaf mulch. It's the best.
And that would work all right?
Oh, absolutely, because it's a nice... I mean, the trick with reseeding or seeding a lawn is you've got to have what's called good seed-soil contact.
Okay.
So with that leaf mulch example, I would just rake it level, and you're right. If you can get a half an inch of topsoil or triple mix on top of that leaf mulch.
Okay.
Rake it all as level as you can. Pretend you're feeding the chickens, broadcasting the right seed.
Right.
The right seed meaning for sun shade conditions that you have at the cottage.
Okay. And the right seed, is there a, it's just called sun and shade, you mean?
There's some grass seeds that have been selected for full sun. Some will tolerate partial sun. Some are selected for what we call high traffic areas, where we've got lots of kids running around and action on the lawn. So just, you know, recognize that, you know.
Because it's cottage, is there another form of seed that maybe is more conducive to the area, like, you know, a vetch of some sort that would work?
Yeah, there's all kinds of lawn substitutes out there.
Yeah.
I mean, what comes to my mind right now is Wildflower Farm, because Wildflower Farm is Schaumburg area, and they do a fair amount of, you know, grasses that don't require cutting that will give you that lawn alternative. But Wayne, you had a look on your face like you were thinking of something.
Well, things like clover.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times if you look, like pay attention to the what's in the mix, because there'll be annuals, there'll be perennials, there'll be clover. So looking at the balance of what you want is also really important. Like grass seed isn't just grass seed.
No.
Every bag you pick up will be a different mix.
Blend, yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And what is it called?
Well, who knows? There's different blends out there. It just depends where you're shopping and what you're looking
for. And
what
do I ask for again?
Well, again, it comes down to how much sun, how much shade, what you were looking for. Do you want to mow this lawn, or do you want something that doesn't require?
I prefer not to. But
well, you know what? Go if it's sunny. If it's 6 hours or more of sun a day, go with clover. I'm a big fan of clover.
Clover.
Yeah, you never need to water it. It's so supportive of the pollinators, because when it's blooming, it's alive with activity. It's a legume. You know, it fixes nitrogen from the atmosphere into the soil. It's so low maintenance. It's the best.
And for a cottage, it's great. Now, in your front lawn, everybody considers clover a weed.
I don't.
In the cottage, it's
yeah,
it's
yeah. Perfect. You mow it once a year, right? Mm-hmm. You mow it once a year at the end of the year.
Okay.
Any flower on it?
Yeah. That's what I would do. I would just go with something simple. But, yeah, that's...
And for the lawn, you say just a...
All right, now going back to your lawn in the city, again, think about you cannot just... Well, you haven't had good experience just tossing grass seed out there. So, yes, top dress. Get some hold of good quality topsoil or a lawn. There's a lot of bags out there now which are soils for lawns. So get a hold of some of those bags. Again, raking it all out. There's great instructions on the bags about raking level, broadcasting the seed, raking again, and making sure that you do it just before a rain event so you don't have to sprinkle. But, of course, seed must be kept moist until it grows, which is a minimum of 2 weeks. So you might have to sprinkle every day, depending on the weather. But it's always nice to do your seeding with lawn seed, either spring or fall, when we're likely to have rain.
Do we fertilize as well?
Not at that time, nope.
No.
Nope.
But when would I fertilize that lawn?
Oh, probably by, depending on when you grow or you plant it, at least 8 weeks after you've planted it.
Now, you're supposed to seed when there's a little warmth in the ground?
Well, the seed will not go anywhere. It will just wait until the conditions are right. So you're fine to go ahead and do your seeding anytime, as long as it's not a steep slope. You could be seeding today. All right. Thanks so much, Gord. Oof, he had a lot of questions. See, if Frank had been here, Frank calls himself Patrolman Proctor, because we do have a mantra, and it's one question per caller, but call early and call often, so call more than once. But yeah, Gord was pretty sneaky. All right, we do have to go for a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right. Remember, I've got Wayne Gale right here in the studio. He doesn't come often. So if you've got any special questions about Stoke seeds and what they do and specialty seeds, he's going to give us some little inside tips right now. But now's your chance to give a call. Local number is 416-360-0740. Long distance is 1-866-740-4740. Now, Wayne, I mentioned to you that I know after doing this show for almost 9 years that a lot of our callers are gardening on balconies. They're in condos, they're in apartments, they are, you know, rooftops. So above ground gardening, so container gardening, any sort of suggestions of seeds that would handle the conditions that, you know, the heat, the wind perhaps, even a lot of sun, edible, preferably kind of no-brainer, easy to grow seed suggestions?
Well, the first thing I always do is look at my return on investment. So I always like to say, I mean, I only got so many square foot.
Yeah, nerdy guy in you.
Yeah, that's my financial side. So, I mean, even in a big garden, I don't grow corn because it's just so big.
Takes up too much
room.
So
when you're in a patio and you want a container gardening, then it's even more critical that you've got so much little space. So tomatoes, always the first thing you go to. They're expensive to buy, and they're cheap to produce. The smaller sort of candy-type tomato, the smaller ones are always good. They're good for snacks. They're good for you can cut them in half and put them on a plate to cook or to bake.
But so you can just pop them in your mouth.
You can just pop them in your mouth, so they're very versatile. Herbs is another thing, of course.
Yeah, because they're so tolerant of extreme conditions.
And you can pick them as you want. If you go to the grocery store and you buy $3 worth of herbs, and then you throw three quarters of it out.
Exactly. I needed one tablespoon.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're right. So basil, parsley, chives, so many of these things. Nasturtiums.
Yes.
Love nasturtiums in a container.
I do too. And they're very edible.
Every part of them, yep.
And the other thing is about watering. Mm-hmm. Watering is the number one enemy to container gardening because you have to keep it moist. Yeah. And the herbs are easy because they're leafy, so they do require moisture, but they're not real big drinkers. Tomatoes, on the other hand, they are a bit heavier, so you can't let it dry out too much because once you lose them, all you have to do is forget about them for 2 weeks after, 2 months of investment, and they're gone.
They're gone. They'll just be toast. And, but what do you – like you said, you go away to Newfoundland for a couple weeks every summer. How does your garden cope when you're away?
Well, actually, my wife, the gardener, she found some of these. We sell a sort of a terracotta tip that goes on the end of a used bottle.
I've seen
them. She had great success with them. Now, I know we list all this stuff, and they've stopped inviting me to the accessory catalogs because I always pick the ones that don't sell and nix the ones that do. And I thought this was a dumb idea.
Yeah.
And then my wife used it. She has it in all our containers. And it'll last about a week.
Yeah, slowly percolates.
It slowly percolates through.
Upside down water bottle is into that terracotta point that's under the ground.
Exactly. And it's porous, and the soil will actually suck the moisture out of the terracotta because the soil is more dry. We also have a gel you can get. I remember a very quick story. We listed it, and Oprah Winfrey mentioned it on her program.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, is right. Yeah. We sold about 6 skids of this stuff.
Good
in about
thing
3
you had
weeks.
It.
Yeah. And it's a gel, goes into a tube, and again, the soil will suck the moisture out of the gel, and then you rehydrate it when you come back. And that'll last about 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. On a small, especially indoor, like your indoor potted plants and stuff like that.
Yeah, because sometimes people do go away in the winter, and they'll call and say, what should I do? What should I do?
So there's lots of those products. And then we also have a trickle irrigation system, which is a little bit more sophisticated.
Oh, for the container gardener.
For the containers.
Oh, yeah. Like a spaghetti line thing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The trick I use when I go to Newfoundland, actually, is I pull all the pots together. I put my sprinkler in the middle of it and put a timer on it. So every morning it just weeps over top of the containers. But a little obvious that you're away when all your containers are together
and
in the middle
of the
yard.
And it's pouring rain and the sprinkler's on.
Exactly.
Well, those are good tips, though, which, of course, segues to the fact that not only are you an online supplier of seeds, but you also have a retail store.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's only in St. Catharines, or actually Thorold, Ontario.
Well, fortunately for the people who live in that area.
Yes. A lot of people don't realize they're quite lucky because we list over 2,000 different varieties. So, you go
in
into
the
your
store.
In the store, and our main warehouse is there. We have 75,000 square feet of warehouse. At any given time, we've got between $4 and $6 million worth of seed back there.
So I could go in there with a shopping list, and somebody's going to go out to the warehouse and find all these little packages for me.
Exactly. You can also, if you're in the area or you're local, you can always fax it in
phone
it in and come and pick it up. We have growers that come in from Toronto. They'll pick up their cauliflower seed. They got a seed like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll send one of their helpers down and the order will be sitting there and waiting. They could pick up. I had one guy, he was working for one of the tomato processors out in the Chatham area. He picked up $300,000 worth of tomato seed.
Wow.
Had a brand
That's a lot of seed.
It's about a suitcase full of seed.
Really?
Yeah. And he had a brand new pickup truck. And I said, you be careful. And I said, if it comes down to a choice between the pickup truck and the seed, get the seed.
You know what's more important.
Exactly.
I love it. That's great. Okay. Well, speaking of seeds, we did have, but we lost. We had somebody wanted to ask a question about lily seeds, but here we are. Still there? No, not there. Mary is on the line, calling from Lowbanks, Lake Erie. I'm not sure where Lowbanks is. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I'm sorry I don't have a seed question for you.
No worries.
But I'm calling from the middle of nowhere called Lowbanks.
Yeah.
On Lake Erie. And I have a question about the Canadian tulips for the 150th celebration. So I bought them in the fall and didn't get them in the ground. But I'd like to see them come up this spring. Is there anything I can do, or when can I get them in the ground?
Where are they now?
Still in the box.
And where's the box?
In my closet.
Oh, dear.
All right. Closet.
When was the last time you opened the box and looked at the bulbs?
Ooh, I would say 2 or 3 months ago.
All right, so, you know, if you want to just, when you get off the line from us, go to the box and open the box and see what's going on. The tulips may have shriveled up and may just be dust by now.
Mm-hmm.
They've just dried up. If they haven't, if there's still some heft, some meat in those bulbs, your job is to get a big pot, get some potting soil, moisten the soil, get those tulip bulbs under the soil in a pot, just under the soil, pointy end up. So you want to really jam the pot full with those bulbs.
Okay.
Preferably they shouldn't be touching each other, but at this point don't worry about it. You just want to jam the pot full, pointy end up, but just under the surface, water thoroughly, put a dark green garbage bag around the pot or pots, as the case may be. And then if you've got room in the fridge, put those pots in the fridge. If you don't have room in the fridge, put them outside in the garage or out in a shed. Put a little mark on the calendar that 8 weeks from today you're going to
be somewhere where it might freeze.
You don't want them to freeze. You want them to be chilled to refrigerator temperature, but not below zero.
Okay.
But you know what? Your timing is good. If you have a shed or a garage, I mean, I know it's cool these next few days, but you're likely to be able to keep them, you know, cool, chilled without freezing.
Mm-hmm.
But you are going to have to wait a good 8 weeks before you pull them out of that cold storage, and then you're going to sit them out on the patio because 8 weeks from now we're into May, and hopefully everything's great. They'll come up perfectly. They'll be behind all the other tulips because all the other tulips got their chilling period outside this past winter.
Mm-hmm.
But they will not flower until they've been chilled.
Gotcha.
Okay, so
see
if you can rescue them. Go run right now.
I am.
Okay.
Thank you for your show.
Thanks for calling. Oh, that's sad because those are going to be nice tulips.
Yeah, you know it's funny. A lot of seeds require that trick that you have to. We have a lot of different types of annuals and perennials, and it's kind of funny. We have a lab, and because we do a quality control test every year to make sure that the seed is still germinating, and it's really funny. Some of the instructions you have to go. Some seeds you have to nick with a knife.
Or sandpaper.
Others you have
That's
to put
That's called scarification.
Yes.
Okay.
And some of them you have to put in a fridge.
Yep, yep.
I know we, or vice versa.
Or even a freezer.
Or a freezer. Yep. We sell mimosa plants, which is not the drink.
No, it's the
sensitive plants.
Sensitive plants.
And they're
exactly.
great. When I was a kid, I used to play with them all the time.
Absolutely. We all love those.
And I found out we were getting complaints and poor germination. I did some research on the computer, and I found out that you have to put them in not boiling water, but hot water. Apparently, seeds that have a high oil content, you need to sort of wake them up or free the oil in order for them to germinate. So there are a few seeds that like that. Actually, the carrot seed we were talking about offline, there's an old sort of home remedy. You're supposed to put it in like warm tea when you plant it.
Really?
So yeah.
Because carrots are always a bit tricky.
Yeah.
You put them out there and you wait and you wait and you wait and you think, oh, are they going to grow or do I have to reseed?
Yeah, they typically like the warmer soil. Unlike say beans. I mean, beans we could probably plant today.
Except our ground might be frozen, but if your ground is workable. I know people that were out in the garden 2 weeks ago and it was so mild.
Yeah.
But you're right. They're happy with the cool soil.
Oh, they'll take snow.
Yeah, cauliflower, broccoli, cabbages, kales, they'll all handle the cold soil. And that's just something that you learn through experience, right? Mm-hmm. That peppers, tomatoes, eggplants, no way. We need nice warm soil for that.
They're more from the tropics that we've domesticated here.
Yeah.
And even putting a small hoop house of plastic over them will create some nice warmth, thaw the soil out. And
faster.
You can get a jump. Maybe next week if this breaks, you could probably start some of those products.
That's right, if you can just get that warmth into the soil.
That's right,
depending on the amount of sun that's hitting your land. Oh, that's very cool. All right, let's see if we have time to take one more call before we do have to take another break. Sherry's on the line calling from Dundas. Good morning.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
My garlic is all up. Is it going to be okay?
How up is it?
Oh, there's a lot of green showing.
Like a couple inches?
Oh, more than that.
Oh, wow. Do you have access to any leaves or straw or shredded newspaper?
Shredded newspaper.
Yeah,
sure.
You can always shred newspaper, but it could blow away. See, the trick is your garlic is probably going to be okay, but it is pretty cold, and the next few days are certainly cold. The green tips that have come up, if they're not protected, might get frosted off. So the tips will turn black. It doesn't mean that that will kill the bulb. Once the weather gets good, they will continue to grow. But if there's any way you could sort of put some loose insulation, like leaves or straw or something, around the green that has come up just for the next week or so, you would find that that would lessen any damage.
Okay, I'm sure they'd have something at the garden center.
They might, yeah, they might, yeah. Even soil, you know, but the problem is most soil is frozen. So you do is you go to the garden center, you buy topsoil, you bring it in your house, you thaw it, and then you go out with it thawed, and you just sprinkle it around the plants on the surface, and then you'll move that away once spring really hits.
Okay.
Okay.
And can you give me a name of a nice perennial shrub that the deer don't like?
Oh, a perennial. Well, is it sun or shade you're looking for?
Shade.
Oh, you know what's a good one?
What?
Do you have a pencil?
Sure.
Okay. Deer do not eat, and it grows in the shade, and it's one of my all-time favorite perennials, hellebores. So H-E-L-L, E, B as in Bob, O-R-U-S.
O-R-U-S?
Yep, helleborus.
Okay.
And Wayne, who's already confessed that he's not a gardener, he's strictly a business guy, doesn't know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to help show him like I always show Frank, because Frank doesn't know much about gardening either. There's some pictures of helleborus. You'll recognize it. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen it. It's a great deer won't touch it. It is an evergreen, loves the shade, protect from sun in the spring, very early bloomer in the spring. What I do with my hellebores is I chop my Christmas tree up after Christmas, take all the branches off, and then I lay the branches over the hellebores so that when the sun starts beating down in the spring, they don't get all toasted in that early sun that comes through my maple trees that aren't yet in leaf, right? So it's working with that sun in the spring that becomes shade later in the summer. So good question. Thank you for that. We need to go for a break. Sebastian's given me the evil eye. We will be right back.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hello, Charlie Dobbin and Wayne Gale. Let's go to one of our callers because we have Nancy on the line calling in from Stratford. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
Excellent.
I just wanted to know, I'm not sure if you're... visitor will appreciate this call or not. I'm really wondering about non-GMO seeds. Okay. And are they available for, like, John Q. Public to purchase?
Oh, great question.
Especially for vegetables.
Well, actually, and I'll just speak to vegetables because I know vegetables. Actually, John Q. Public cannot buy GMO vegetable right. seed.
It doesn't exist.
The only vegetable seed in Canada that is genetically modified, there are about maybe 12 varieties of sweet corn that have been genetically modified. And that
is Roundup Ready.
Yeah, they're either Roundup Ready or they're insect resistant. Right. Not so much. Roundup Ready, it means that it won't die if you spray it with a herbicide. But they also have some that are just naturally, like BT, which is an organic chemical, but they exude
bacteria.
BT. But anyways, a lot of people don't realize that any of the vegetables that you buy in Canada, any of the vegetable seed, not the vegetables, but any of the vegetable seed that you buy in Canada is non-GMO.
Right.
Absolutely. It just does not exist. Right. It's not legal. The only one is the sweet corn, like I said, and there's only about a handful of varieties that are genetically modified. So most of the sweet corn.
But just for the commercial grower.
Just for the commercial grower.
Okay. So not in the catalog.
No. There's no genetically modified vegetables in our catalog or our website. Or any catalog, any vegetable seed website.
And when I get asked that question sometimes by my students, I always explain that people have to realize genetically modified organisms take a ton, millions and billions of dollars to create.
Yes.
So there's it's years and years of research and development. And for a carrot, nobody's going to do it. Like, it just doesn't make sense unless there's some reason, some economic reason to genetically modify something. It's just not going to happen.
Well, our small market, Canada is considered a small market. And actually, you know, for in some ways it works to our advantage. It is just not financially viable to get a genetically modified vegetable approved in Canada. Now, that being said, there are genetically modified summer squash in the United States. Mm-hmm. They're not available in Canada. You can't buy them in Canada.
So summer squash being zucchini as an example.
Yeah, like the but we can eat them.
Right.
So the company that bred them got permission for Canadians to eat them, but
so they
not to grow them.
Into Canada.
So in case they end up in a frozen
mix, that isn't
illegal. But it was not economically viable for them to get the permission to grow it in Canada.
Huh.
So it's on par to a pharmaceutical license.
Yeah.
That's
the
effort that goes into it.
Big hoops to jump through, for sure.
So you're safe.
Yeah, so thanks for your call, Nancy.
But thank you for your call.
Good question.
We were expecting that one, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, no, and it is a good question, because I know we hear terms, and a lot of times there's not good understanding of what they mean. All right, we've got Sylvia on the line calling from Elmville. Good morning.
Hello.
Morning. Yes, you're on the line.
Hi.
On the air.
Hi. I just wanted a question about anthurums.
Anthurium, yeah.
It's just starting to bloom, but it's been root-bound for quite a while. Like, it really needs to be replanted.
Yeah.
And I was wondering when I can replant it. It's it has one flower on it, and it's coming up with a second, but it's really root-bound.
Okay, no, it's a good time.
Pardon me?
This is a very good time to be repotting or transplanting any of our houseplants.
Even if it's blooming?
Even if it's blooming. It's not optimal when it's blooming, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. What I would do is just get a bigger pot, get some fresh potting soil, make sure that it's well moistened, and then, you know, get all your tools organized, you know, your newspaper spread out.
Right.
Don't, you know, and then make it happen fairly quickly. So out of one pot, loosen the roots if they're all spiraled around, because plants sometimes will commit suicide with their roots if they're in a tight spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So loosen those up into the bigger pot with the fresh soil and a thorough watering, then back where you had it, so that it's obviously happy where you've got it. So back in that location. And I think you'll find it will just perk right up. It'll be so happy.
Oh,
you'll
great.
Have more
okay.
blooms.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. This is the time. All of our plants are responding to the longer days.
You know, Charlie, you brought up a good point in that call, and that is to take the roots and break them out. A lot of people, when they buy their plants at the garden center, they typically take them out of those little plastic sleeves and they drop them in. And that's the worst thing you can do, because they do spiral in those plastics,
and they
will continue to spiral.
They don't unspiral.
So that was one trick my dad always taught me, is when you buy those plants at the greenhouse, take your hands and be a little rough with the roots. Break them out.
Yeah.
Make them point in different directions, and you get a much healthier plant, a much bigger plant.
And that's so true in my experience. And it's so kind of common sense, too, because we're growing the plant typically not for the roots. We're growing it for the flowers or the fruit or some aspect above ground. And you're not going to get above ground growth without below ground growth, because that all balances out. So without a good, healthy root system, you don't have a good, healthy plant above ground. So I agree with you. All right. Somebody's on the call. Joan in North York would like to talk about raspberries. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. Last year was such a dry year. I didn't water my raspberries that much. And so I didn't get a lot of fruit, of course. Mm-hmm. And I should have cut them back in the fall, but I didn't. I'm just wondering, when's a good time to cut them back? Because they're really spindly right now.
Yeah, I'd probably wait till it's a little easier to get outside because it's still a bit cold. But again, that's an early spring chore. So it's just a matter of that it's a fine line between it being super soggy, because we never want to be walking in our gardens when it's, you know, we're going to be damaging the structure of the soil if it's too wet. But theoretically, you could even go out when it's this cold. But if they suffered that much from drought, I'd be probably a little hesitant to do anything too radical to them when it's this cold. I'd probably wait another couple of weeks.
Okay.
Do the cutting back. And then think about top dressing them. Think about some good compost or composted manure. Get some good organic material out there. Help to maintain some moisture in the soil and get some good nutrition back in around them.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. Okay. I really missed the raspberries last
year. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to water them this year.
Maybe we won't have such a droughty summer. Who knows, right?
I hope not. Okay, well,
thanks,
thank you,
Joan,
for your call. Thank you for taking my question.
Our pleasure. Thanks for calling. All right. Look, this is the one for you. Marcia's on the line from Kleinberg, and she wants to know something about seeds. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm calling because I live on conservation land, and I'm trying to introduce more native plants into the forest floor. Mm-hmm. And they're quite expensive to buy as potted plants, and I was particularly looking for wood poppy seeds that I might be able to broadcast.
Okay.
And so I wondered if Stokes carry them or carry them in any quantity, produce them, or other native plants that could be broadcast on a forest floor.
Do you have another name for wood poppy? Here, I'm just
yes,
looking it up.
It's Styloforum defilum.
Yeah, getting the proper plants in the proper environment is always tricky, because every region is different. And when you deal with wildflowers, I know a lot of we do sell wildflower mix, which is not what you're asking for.
No.
But I know a lot of people can be disappointed with wildflower mixes because one species typically overtakes the whole plot because it's more aggressive than the other ones.
Right.
So selection of the proper material is important. So it's nice that you've done the research to find, you know, what is supposed to be natural to that environment. But did we find any? I don't know. We don't list it under that name.
Yeah, you don't break out into native, do you? No. I'm just looking here in the flower seed index in my Stokes catalog.
Well, also native, that catalog goes across all North America, so...
Yeah, but that's how native is defined. Actually, it's interesting. Native plants are defined as plants that grew here on this continent prior to the Europeans' arrival.
Well, it could also be regional. I mean, what's native
absolutely.
Here is different than it could be a weed in Florida.
Or you know. Could be something that grows in BC but would never grow here. But it's still native to North America. So that you're right. Native is always one of those kind of funny terms. Sometimes people think that we mean Toronto when we're talking native.
Oh, could be.
But yeah, that's pretty specific. So you don't break out native in your catalog at all. And I'm noticing the wood poppy, when I flip to a website here, Marcia, it is an endangered plant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now I have Lorraine Johnson's book on
natives. Yep.
100 easy to grow native plants.
Okay.
And that is in there.
Okay.
And the seeds are supposed to take readily, and so that's why I was particularly looking for the wood poppy, because it's endangered, because it seems to be, you know, from what the experts say, easy to grow. And the other thing is that, you know, the garlic mustard just takes over everything.
I know. Hey, so here's some good news for you. Guess who's here at the here on the show with me next Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Lorraine Johnson.
Oh, wonderful.
So you call next week, or I'll make this little note, Wood Poppy, and we'll get Lorraine to answer that question next week when she's here, because she might know a source of Wood Poppy seeds.
Okay, that would be great.
All right. Thanks
okay.
for your call.
Thanks so much.
We have to take our final break, but we'll be right back.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Wayne and I are just laughing about kids, children in the garden and what they do when they're little. I mean, we both have grown-up kids that aren't in our gardens any longer, but are in their own gardens, I imagine.
Yes.
Your children, my kids, my daughter particularly, gardens on a balcony in Toronto. So speaking of kids, tomato seeds are sent off to space, up to the space station, I guess up in the shuttle, whatever it's called there. But they're Stoke seeds. How many seeds go up to space?
Well, actually, they're provided by Heinz Seed Company.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's an exciting program, especially, you know, these seeds will sit in my office. I get to touch them. I've actually spoken to an astronaut while he was on the space station on
really?
A conference call. So yeah, it's a project that's near and dear to my heart and to Stoke's. So Canadian Space Agency started it, and it's called Tomatosphere, tomatosphere.org. It's a school program
mm-hmm.
where we send, between NASA and Canadian Space Agency, they send up tomato seeds to spend a certain amount of time on the space station.
Right, so zero gravity.
And temperatures and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, strange temperatures, yeah.
And so then they come back down. Some of them have been up there in past programs. They've been up there as much as 3 months.
Mm.
Typically, right now, they're up there for about 3 to 4 weeks. In fact, there are 1.2 million seeds up on the space station going over our heads right now.
Really?
And
floating around up there.
So they'll come back in, I think, April, and we'll package them up. We package up about 20,000 packets of seed, 30 seeds each packet. We also have a control group. So we have another 30 seeds per packet. We have another 1.2 million seeds that stayed here on the ground. So what we do is we package them up, and they've got two letters. This year it's G and H. And so it's a blind test, double blind.
Right.
The teacher doesn't know which ones went to space, and the kids don't know which ones went to space.
So control and,
yes.
and space experience.
So what they do is they grow them in the classroom, and they observe them, do germination counts, write stories, learn about space, learn about growing your own food, learning about nutrition. So it taps into a lot of the different curriculum. And then they report back to a website what the germination was. So the experiment is to take them to germination, to where they sprout.
Yeah.
A lot of the schools will keep them, send the plants home over the summer, etc. And they report it in, and then eventually they find out which ones were the space tomatoes and which ones were not the space tomatoes.
Excellent. Great program. And you're big supporters of that, obviously.
Yes, we do all the packaging. And then in Canada, Let's Talk Science out of London sponsors the program for the Canadian side. They're the ones that promote the program and write a lot of the material for the teachers.
Neat. Oh, gosh. So you know what? We got to get Wayne back. We're out of time.
Oh, no.
Show's over. Thank you so, so much. You've just been a great guest. And like I said, you got to come back again because you got some great stuff on the go.
I will. We didn't talk about half the stuff we wanted to.
I know. Thanks, everybody. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.